Daf Chaf Vav. So let's take it from the bottom of Chaf Hey Rebeis. We're talking about this scenario, about this situation of a particular tree, which is called Hahi Avranka. And this was a Rashi describing, I'm going to read this Rashi again in the end of Chaf Hey Rebeis. Avranki is a Ilan Shetzila Meruba, a tree that produces a lot of shade. Venotin Oso Hasarim, the various kings or princes or whoever, important people, Osin Itstablos Tachtav Sivosa, make some benches around the tree underneath the shade, Le Hislonin Tachtav Bimosachama Ulisamech Sham, to hang out, to get some nice cool air. So this was what we're describing. We're talking about some particular tree in a garden. So Gemara says that this Avranka, the Havid Le Resh Galusa Bus Stane, in the orchard of the Resh Galusa. Resh Galusa was a very wealthy, powerful individual. He was a rabbi, and he had a big property. So Amr Le, the Rav Huna Bar Chinina Liaved Bar Takanta. He asked Rav Huna Bar Chinina to make some tikkun, make some erev here, in order to Lamachar, because the next day on Shabbos, Nechel Nahama Hasam. He wanted to eat some bread there. He wanted to go outside. He was anticipating the weather to be conducive for this. So now there is a machlokas how to read this particular Gemara. There's Rashi, his first shot here. Then all the halfway down Chaf Vavam and Aleph, Rashi quotes the Shita of Gaonim, which he actually prefers, which is the end. So we're going to go with the second parish in Rashi and see how he takes it. We're not going to discuss the first parish of Rashi. So what happens here, those saw my picture in the Masifta, and you have maybe in the art scroll, there already is a fence around the orchard. Now, for some reason, the Resh Galusa felt there's a need to make another fence. That fence wasn't good enough. We'll see if it is or it isn't. But there already exists a fence. And now he asked him to make some type of Erev so he could go from his house directly to the tree, because apparently the fence on the outside already existing wasn't good enough. That was the understanding initially. So the Gemara says, Azel, he went ahead, this is Rav Huna Bar Chinna, went ahead, Avid Kanan Pachas Mishlosha, he put some rods in the ground, three tvachim, or less than three tvachim from each other, to create Lavad, and he had surrounded the area so he could walk from the house and carry his bread all the way to the tree. So the Gemara then says, Azel Rava went ahead, and he shalfinu, Rava went ahead and he saw these sticks and took them out, because it was completely unnecessary, he removed these Kanan that were in the ground, and Azel Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei, Rav Yeshua, Naktinu, Mi Basre. And he took the rods and hid them as well. So there's no need for tikka in the fence that already existed. The wall was good enough. There's no need for something extra. Okay. So this was the situation. He did not add an Erev there. The next day, Lamacha, the Gemara goes on to say, the next day on Shabbos itself, Esive Ravina L'Rava. Rava was the one who removed this fence. So Ravina challenged him. Rava was challenged. We're going to see three questions from three different people who challenged Rava. And we're going to see Rava end up regretting removing the tikkun, because they're actually right. The fence that existed was not sufficient. He should have made a tikkun. So what was the question? They asked Rava. L'machar, Eisivei Ravina l'Rava. Ir Chadasha modedin la'mishivasa. The Yeshana Mechamasa. So we're talking about a new city and an old city. The Gemara is about to describe this, but when you're measuring the Tchum, how far out you're allowed to walk outside the Tchum, do you measure from the most outer house or from the wall that goes beyond the house? Where do you measure from? So the Gemara says, quotes this Brice, it depends on whether it's an Ir Chadasha or it's an Ir Yeshana. If it's an Ir Chadasha, a new city, Modedin Lo Mishivasa, you have to measure it from the houses, not from the wall. And if it's a Yeshana, if it's an old city, then Mechamasa, you can measure from the walls. What's the difference? So Ezo, he, Chadasha, Ezo, he, Yeshana, what's considered new, what's considered an old city? Chadasha, new city, is Shehukfa Ulvasof Yashva, where they initially had built the wall, but there's no house inside. So they first constructed a wall, and then afterwards, they built a sitting area, the houses inside. So that's considered an old, rather new. It's new. The city is new. And there you'd actually measure from the houses, not from the wall. Because when the wall is up, there's no deer inside. It was just hukaf shalola deera. So the walls are really meaningless. And so again, that's Yeshana. Again, so Chadasha is hukva ulvasof yashva. The Chadasha where the city was, the wall was first, and then the houses, you measure from the houses. If it was Yeshana, what's an old wall or an old city? It's Yashra. First you had houses, and Vasof Hukfa, then you put the walls around that. So in the second case, the walls were built certainly Hukaf Ladira, because already was a house inside Hukaf Ladira. So when the Mechoma was for deer purposes, you measure from the Choma. When the Choma was built not for deer purposes, then you can't measure from the wall. You have to measure from the houses. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim. If you built the wall with the intent of building houses inside, whether that is considered hukaf for deer or not, that's a machlokas rishonim. But let's just take the Gemara at face value. When you built the wall, were the houses or not, were there not houses just yet? And that's going to dictate whether the wall is hukaf for deer and you can measure from there, or it's not hukaf for deer and you can't measure from there. So after establishing this brisa, Ravina says, "Hai nami, this case as well, with regards to the orchard and the tree inside, it was kahukfa ulvasof yashadami." Because they originally had this fence, the wall around the orchard. The orchard was not considered a makum dira. Then they added this fancy tree inside as a makum dira, like a type of place to a living space. But that only came after the wall was already built. So the wall is considered shelo hukaf ladira, and therefore it's not usable. That's why they had to construct a separate wall, which Rava did not do. That's the first question they asked to Rava. Comes along now, the Gemara explains, Amar le Rapapa Rava. Rapapa challenges Rava from a different perspective. Vaha Amar, don't we have his din, Rav Asi Amar Mechitos Adrachlin, lo shmei Mechita. What's Mechita Adrachlin? It's hard to find Rashi because it's a long, one long Rashi at the end here, so I'm going to just stay outside what Rashi says. It's that when people were, you know, go build, and sometimes, you know, when they're working on the street, they're working in the manhole, they have like a little shady area in case it rains or in case it's sunny. So they build like these temporary tents. What we have in the backyard is the awning. So it's a temporary type of fence or a rooftop. So these types of mechitas adrachlin, lo shma mechita, that's not called a mechita. Why? Alma kevan delitzniusa avidilei lo havi mechita. The whole purpose was not to really construct a wall, but just to give temporary tznius. While they're working for a couple hours, a little shade, and then they'll take it away. So Rashi explains that because since the next day they're going to take down the mechita, that's not called a mechita. The Ritva says the reason is not because the wall itself is temporary, but the usage of the wall, meaning even if the wall is permanent, since I don't regularly use the area that's fencing inside, that's called litznusa. So either way, litznusa either means the wall is temporary or the usage that's within the wall is temporary. So just like we have by this mechitas adrachlin, there's something temporary about it, and it's a mechitza tznusa and not a mechitza. So he says, hachanami, here as well, by the case of the of our mechitas of the Avranka, the walls around this, even if you want to establish that, let's say the walls were hukaf ladira, because even if you built it after the Avranki was there, it's still considered mukaf ladira. But since in the end of the day, these mechitas around the pardes was only litznusa, so nobody could look inside, or because the usage inside is only temporary, something about it's temporary, Rashi explains. Therefore, it doesn't qualify as a mechita, and you would have to construct a new eruv, but the outside fence doesn't qualify as a fence because it's only litznusa, it's temporary. And the third question they ask in Rava why you needed to make an eruv is Amar Rav Huna Breder Yeshula Rava V'Hamar. Don't we have a statement from Rav Huna? Mechita ha'asuya l'nachas loshmei mechitza. If you have a fence whose purpose is to protect, to preserve fruit or something of that sort, of shmira, that's not called a fence. So we're seeing different definitions of mechitza. We haven't seen this just yet. Now, so we have to figure out what's considered deer now. We know mechitza l'dira is certainly considered a mechitza. The Gemara is saying mechitza l'tznusa is not. Mechitza l'nachas, to protect fruit, is not considered a mechitza. I'm not quite sure myself how to be magdir what's classified as a mechitza. If you'd asked me if there's a mechitza l'tznusa to protect people from looking inside my property, I would think that's mechitza l'dira. And if you were to tell me that a mechitza around the fruit, I would say that's also a type of dira. So I'm not sure myself how your magdir, what's considered a mechitza versus mechitza l'tznusa and l'nachas, but for whatever reason, the Gemara clearly says if it was mechitza simply to preserve and to protect some type of fruit inside, that's not a good enough type of mechitza. Lo shma mechitza. What's his proof? So the ha, Rabba bar Avua ma'ariv le l'kula mechuza. Rabba bar Avua made an eruv around an entire city. This entire city, Asiasa, Arsiasa, Arsiasa, every neighborhood had its own mavui. And the reason why, because there's some pictures here, if you look at Rashi, there's a picture here, there were many small mavois, and there was a big mavui. Now, each separate tiny alleyway needed its own eruv, or own sheet of mavois. You couldn't make a huge one along the big alleyway. Why not? Because there's a mavui mefulash, we'll see. Now, the truth is, it really wasn't Mavui Mefulash. At the end of this long alleyway going across the city, there was actually a wall at the end. So it's not Mefulash. But that wall, the Gemara is about to tell us, was really only there to protect some fruit they left in that area. And since that mechita was a mechita lenachas, which the Gemara calls to be shomer the fruit, that's not called a mechita, and we view this as a halachic mavim mefulash. Mavim mefulash requires a lot more in order to close off, and that wall is not considered a wall. So that's the raya. So again, the Gemara says that the haraba barabua ma'ariv le lekula mechuzah, he made an eruv around the whole city. Arsiyasa, every neighborhood required its own separate eruv. Mishum pira de beitari, because the area where they had the fruit in the ground, the preserved somehow in a ditch there, and there was a wall there. Vaha pira de beituri mechitza asulinachas damya. And even though there's a wall there, but since that wall was only to protect the fruit, and it's called mechitza asulinachas, that's not called the mechitza that we're looking for, and therefore it's not acceptable. So here as well, the fence, the wall around the orchard, was considered a mechitza lenachas, not a mechitza of a real mechitza, and therefore unacceptable. So this is a third reason why you'd have to build an eruv on to get from the house to the avranki, this fancy tree, and he didn't do this. So Rava was really hammered by three different amarim, and the Gemara concludes saying, Kari alai Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa referred to these three rabbis who challenged Rava. He said, Chachamim heima lahara ulehetev lo yadu. He quoted a passing in Yirmer, the Chachamim only look to do bad, but they don't look to do good. Meaning, they just assered my ability to carry down Shabbos. And yesterday, when they could have fixed the problem, they weren't here yesterday, so they do me no good. I'm stuck here. I can't have my nice meal outside on Shabbos afternoon. Okay, fine. The Gemara now says, halfway down the Yomud here, Amar Rabbi Eli, Shemati mu Rabbi Eliezer, Afilu Beis Kur. Rabbi Eli heard, this is from the Mishnah a few days ago, that he had reported three different statements that he heard from Rabbi Eliezer. One of the statements was that Rabbi Eliezer felt you can make a karpif, even if it's as big as a base kur, you don't need to have it a hukav ladira. Meaning everyone else felt base hasayim is up until that point. Yosemi base hasayim, you fall into a problem. But Rabbi Eli heard from Rabbi Eliezer, no, it could be even a base kur, and shalol hukav ladira, it's still acceptable. So the Gemara says, Masnis in our Mishnah, which uses the measurement of a base kor, must be delo kichananya. Detanya, Chananya Omer, afilu hi arbaim sa kisratya shamel. He doesn't limit it to base kor. He says it could be even as huge as 40 sa, which is larger than the base kor that Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah. It could be even bigger, says Chananya. So from the fact that our Mishnah limits it to only a base kor and doesn't go to arbaim sa, must be our Mishnah is not like Chananya. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan comments, Rabbi Yochanan oftentimes does this. He explains in Machlokas Tanayim, Shneim Mimikra Echa Darshu. He's the one who oftentimes says, they're both darshing the same Pasuk, but they have different interpretations of the Pasuk. So what are they darshaning? So they're darshaning the Pasuk Shneimar, it says in Malachim Beis, Vayihi Yeshayahu Lo Yata Chatzer Hatichona. So Yeshayah didn't go out to the Chatzer. So the Gemara says that Ksiv Ha'ir, it describes the area as a city in one pasuk, in Melachim Beis, and then in the pasuk we just used, the Karinan Chatzar. So how do you call a city a Chatzar? Is it a Chatzar or is it a city? They're two different things. Mikan, Lisrat Yeshamelech, because we're going to see Yeshayahu, came to visit Chizkiah Melech. So we went to the Chizkiah's Chatzar. It's not like our Chatzar. His Chizkiah, the Melech, his Chatzar was massive. It was like a city. So when Yeshayah went to visit Chizkiah Melech's palace, Mikan Lisrat Yeshamelech, the orchard, the palace, the chutz of the Melech, Shayu Kayaros Beinonis, was the size of an average sized city. So the Gemara said, B'mai Kimifagi, what's the machlokas here? Mar Savar Ayaros Beinonis Havya Beiskor, Umar Savar Arbar Mesah Havyan. So they were debating how big is an average city. So one felt, Rabbi Eli from Rabbi Eliezer felt, an average size city apparently is the size of a base court. And Chananya understood that the average size city was Arbar Misa. But they're all learning based on the pasuk here that an ear is called a chatzar, and a chatzar is called an ear. So how big can an ear be? So that's as big as a chatzar could be. That's why they were comfortable extending the definition of a karpif based on their understanding of this particular pasuk. So now the Gemara wants to know this whole conversation here of Chizkiah and Yeshayahu asks the Gemara, the Yeshayahu, my boy Hassan, what was Yeshayahu doing in the palace of Chizkiah Melech? So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Melamed Shechala Chizkiah, that Chizkiah got sick, famous story, the Gemara Brachas talks about why he got sick. V'halach Yeshayahu, V'hoshev Yeshiva al Pischa. And he decided to set up a yeshiva next to the entranceway to the palace of Chizki HaMelech in order that the Malcham Avos shouldn't be able to enter inside. Rashi, I think, explained this. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, it's around 10 lines up from the bottom, Lahoshiv Yeshiva, Shal Tamidim, he wanted to have a whole yeshiva La'asuk B'Torah Al-Pischa in the entranceway to the palace, to prevent the Malcham Avos from entering into this area. So now, this interesting question, there's a sefer that quoted in the back, Ion Menachem, I don't know who authored this, but he points out the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Samachem and Bey says that Rava says when the Shas Tzara, when the Yetzirah or the Malcham Avos is out, you should close all the windows because the Malcham Avos is able to go through the windows of the Shas Tzara. So if that's the case, it's helpful to close off the entrance way. But I'm sure there are many windows throughout the palace, so what about the windows that the Malcham Avos is going to come inside? So what he answers is that the Gemara in Baba Kama is talking about B'shas Magefa, B'shas Dever, so then the Malcham Avos could go into any house through windows as well. This wasn't a Shas Magefa. Chizkiah was sick. So if it's sick and times are normal, the only way in, apparently, the Malcham Avos could only enter into the Pesach, but not through the Chalonos. That's how he explained it. So he had set shop of yeshiva outside the palace of Chizkiah HaMelech. Now, how many people is called the yeshiva? 20 guys, 30 guys, 40 guys. So the Gionia Shas of Yosef Engel says, he quotes from the Rima Gash, that three people is called the yeshiva. Yeah, three people having a suda, that's a yeshiva. So too for a Beis Medrash, three people sitting, that's called the yeshiva. That's already, you don't need 10 people for yeshiva, but three people. Now there is a Gemara in Megillah talks about Asar Batlanim. 10 people who are Batlanim. What does Batlanim mean? It doesn't mean, you know, we use Batlanim as a Mivatel Torah. No, not Bitel Torah. Batlanim from work. They're not working. They're busy learning all day long. It's a concept of having an ear gadol. It's called when 10 people are Batlanim. So that's a different Indian. But in terms of a yeshiva, Rav Yosef Engel felt that three people would qualify as yeshiva to stop the Malcham Avos from coming inside. So the Gemara then says back, though, Mekan letamer chacham shechala shemoshivin yeshiva al pischo. When the Talmud Chacham sick, you should set up shop of a little yeshiva outside his house. The La Milsi, the Gemara says, not true. That's not a good idea, actually. Dilma Asi La Gruye Beisatan. You might instigate the Satan by doing so. He's going to see a fight there, and he'll work harder. Best in order to not pay attention to the Satan, ignore the Malcham Avos, and let things slide. So there's a debate. We have this Gemara come up often. Is it better to protect from the Malcham Avos, or to kind of ignore the Malcham Avos, lest you're instigating him further? The Gemara now says, the second statement we had in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Eli quoted three statements from Rabbi Eliezer. The first one we just discussed, which is about the size of a carpet. The second one, the Gemara now discusses the last four lines of the Amud here. V'chein shemati heimanu anshe chatzer sheshachach echad v'lir beso aser. That they are making an Eir of Chatzeris. So let's say five people lived in a Chatzer. So the way it works is that in order for all of us to carry, we have to have a matzah of some sort. We all chip into a matzah, and now we've all combined to one unit, all one ownership through that matzah. Now let's say one guy forgot. He forgot to give his part. So now what do? So the din is you could be mevatel his rishus, so he's like a nothing now, and therefore that fifth guy has no chelik in the Chatzer, and the four of us own it together, we could use it. Now, he said one step further in the Mishnah that he cannot utilize the chatzar. He's stuck in his house. He can't bring any kelim from his house to the chatzar. But we can bring from our house to the chatzar, and we could also bring from the chatzar into his house. He's stuck, but we're not stuck. We could use his house if we wanted to. But the Gemara quotes the Mishnah later on in the Sechta that says we actually can't use his house. He can't use the chatzar, but we also can't use his house. The Mishnah says, V'hatnan, Beso aser lehotzi ulhachnis lo ulahen. His house is aser for us to bring to him, and he can bring to. So his bias is off limits for everyone. So what's the machlokas according to our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says we could use his house in this case, and the Mishnah later on says we can't use his house? So the Gemara explains Amar Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua Amar Rav Sheshes Lokasha. There is no contradiction going on to Amar Beis now. Ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabban. It's a machlokas. We'll see this later on in the Masechta. I don't remember which daf, but there's some machlokas about how this works. The Gemara is going to explain what the machlokas is. Kishatim Salomar l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, hamavata rishus chatzero rishus beso bito. So the only case we're talking about is when you're mevatel his chelik in the chatzer. We're not describing the house. But Rabbi Eliezer understands, once you're mevatel the chatzer, mimela, you're also mevatel his house as well, and that's why the other b'nei chatzer, just like they could use his chelik in the chatzer, they could also use his house. They go hand in hand according to Rabbi Eliezer. But according to the Rabbanan, who's the Mishalator on, who says you can't use the house of that person, the Rabbanan, Hamavatel Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beso, Lobitel. They don't go hand in hand. You're only Mavatel his Chatzer, but you're not Mavatel his Bais, and you cannot use his house. That's how we paskin, actually. So Gemara said, Pshita, that's a very obvious understanding of the Machlokas. What exactly was added on? You and I could have explained that. There was no Chiddush in this statement. No, if he says that, Rabbi Elazar said, I can't use his house. And Rabban says,
take somebody's private property and your knowledge.
Right? No, but the Mishnah already says that's what you're allowed to do. Rabbi Elazar says you could use his house.
But this
Gemara didn't add anything new that the Mishnah didn't say. No, say that you just explained. The Mishnah says, Mevatel's Chatzer, you could use his house as well, which means your Mevatel's house, there's nothing added on. So Gemara says, the Chiddush is from the following. Amar Rachva Ana Rav Huna Bar Chanina, me and Rav Huna, Targuming that we explained, Lo Nitzcha, this added statement was only needed for a different scenario. El Chamisha Sheshruyin B'Chatzer Echad. You have five guys in one Chatzer. V'Shachach Echad Mehem V'Lo Eriv. One guy does not make the Eriv. L'Divrei Rabbi Eliezer Kishu Mevatel Rishuso Ein Tzarech Levatel L'Chol Echad V'Echad. Meaning what? So it's four against the one guy who forgot. So do each one of the four have to Mevatel Rishus together? Or just I can represent the other three guys? I'm about that guy's Rishus, it's enough. So Rashi will put everything in together, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's enough to have just one guy, Mevatel, that guy's Rishus, and I represent everyone else. Again, L'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Kishu Mevatel Rishuso, Ein Tzarech Levatel L'chol Echad V'Echad. He doesn't need to Mevatel Rishus to every one of the other guys, but L'Rabbanan, Kishu Mevatel Rishuso, Tzarech Levatel L'chol Echad V'Echad. Each one has to have a bit of Rishus relative to that one guy who's left out. So how does that connect? So if you look at Rashi, just to bring everything home, Rashi writes four narrow lines down, Lo nitzcha ela l'chamisha sheshurin b'chatzer. Dash v'inan rav sheshes l'sum lev, where a person should place his heart, his mind, l'havin tam machlokason v'lumod heimanu davar echad. Rav Sheshes was trying to tell you what was the underpinning of the machlokas and how we can apply it to another scenario. So he explains, the Rebbe Eliezer, Mevatel ba'ayin yafe mevatel. Ayin yafe, the guy is a very generous bittel, if you will. You know, they have this concept of ayin yafe. When a person gives truma, ayin yafe, he gives more. A person sells, we have machlokas, ayin yafe or ayin ra. Is he stingy when he sells? Does he give everything part of the property or only what he lists? So here's what, when the guy is mevatel reshuts, it's ba'ayin yafe. It's in a very strong way. V'lo amrinan, we don't say, chatzer de gali gali, bayis de lo gali lo gali. We don't say that he always only indicated he's mevatel the chatzer. Oh, only the chatzer, not the house. No, we say he's mevatel the chatzer, and included is ayin yafe, even the house, even though he didn't say the house. So just like the bittel meant more, much more, it accomplished much more than was actually revealed, v'nilaf mina, says Rashi, we could derive from that case, tehecha debatel lechad minai, when he's mevatel his chatzer to just one of the guys, batel lechul, he's mevatel to all the guys as well, that was implicit, v'lo amrina, and we do not say, leman de gali gali, only he's mevatel the chatzer to whom he said, uleman de lo gali, the guy who he didn't mevatel, lo gali, not true. We say he's ayin yafe, even though he only says chater, even though he's mevatel rishus to just one guy, it's an ayin yafe, it's bittel across the board, while Rabbanan are very, very limited, and they say, no, he only is mevatel's chater, and that's it. He's only mevatel to that guy, and that's it. He needs to be mevatel's rishus to each one of the other people of that chater, and that's the machlokas.
He's not mevatel, it's not good. He has
exactly,
to.
Yeah, he has to do. We have to,
exactly.
We'll see later on whether you can force the guy to circulate later on, how that works, but for now, you're right, the impression right now is that the owner who didn't do the Erev, he has to be Mevatel, his own Rishus, Mesalik himself from that Chatzer.
That can be done on Shabbos.
Yeah, can be done on Shabbos. Yeah, we'll get to these Sugyas later on. It's a lot of discussions, Erev to Chatzers. I don't remember which. Could be the next, the very next paragraph, maybe. So Gemara then says, Keman Azla Ha, the Tanya Chamisha Sheshurin B'Chatzer. Who is the author of the following Braisa? The Chamisha Sheshurin B'Chatzer Echad, five guys in one Chatzer. V'shachach echad mehem, one guy forgot to make the Erev. V'lo Erev, he didn't, give his, he didn't chip in. Kishu mevatel rishus, and when he's mevatel, it's on rishus. Ein tzarech levatel rishus l'chol echad v'yachad. He does not need to specify to each party. It's enough to just tell one guy, I'm mevatel my chatzer, and memela, everyone else is included. Who is this? Kiman, it must be Kirebi Eliezer, who said, bit the rishus is b'ayin yafe. So the Gemara comments, Rav Kahana Masihachi. That's how Rav Kahana learned this discussion. However, Rav Tevyumi Masihachi, he learned it a little bit differently. He says, Keman Azla, who authored the following braisa, Hadesanya Chamisha Sheshurim Bechatzer Echad, five guys living in one chatzer. V'shachach Echad, one guy forgot to make the Erev, v'lo Erev. Kishu Mevatel Rishuso, He does not need to specify each individual. Come on, it must be Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, come on, Krebi Eliezer. It's pretty much the same thing, just quoting from some different people, but it's the same idea, consistent with what we just said above. So Gemara now asks an interesting question. So we have right now that according to Rebbe Eliezer, when you're Mevatel Rishus just to one guy and just for the Chatzar, everything else comes with it. The bias comes with it, everyone else is part of that bittul, and Rabbanan, we said, are very limited. But let's say Rebbe Eliezer expresses differently, that he does not want bittul to take effect. And Rabbanan say that they dafka do want bittul to take effect. Will that be helpful? In other words, Amle or Papa Abaye, the Rebbe Eliezer, who says when you're Mevatel to one guy and to one Chatzar, everything is included, if he says, you know what, I don't want to be mevatel to my house, I don't want to be mevatel to other people, does he have the right to stop it or no? Once he's mevatel to one person, once he's mevatel to the chatzar, everything comes with it. And the flip side, according to the Rabbanan, who say the bittul in general is very limited, if they express that he wants to be mevatel his house, will that work or not? So the Gemara clarifies, time of the Rebbe Eliezer, the reasoning of Rebbe Eliezer, Mishum de Kasavra Mevata Rishus Chatzero Rishus Beis Abitil. When you're Mevata the Chatzer, the house comes along with it. Vahai Amar Anerlo Mevatlina. He says, I'm not willing to be Mevata my house. So that certainly, it seemed like it should work. He can, kind of put a stop to being Mevata his house and separate from the house and the Chatzer. Oh, Dilma, perhaps the reasoning is Dilma Taimed Rebbe Eliezer Mishum de Bais Belo Chatzer Lo Avida Inshi De Dari. People don't make a house without a Chatzer. No such thing. Every house gets a chatzar. The sugya is in the beginning of Bava Basra talk about when you have a house going into a chatzar and you want to split up the property, each person gets a different section. Because every house has a chatzar. You don't have a house. There's no such thing as a house that's on the street. There's always a chatzar in front of the house. So he has no right to say, here's my chatzar and my house without a chatzar. They go hand in hand, and therefore he has no ability to be to separate his house from the chatzar. And v'chi kamer lo mevatlina, when he says and he tries to attempt to say, I'm mevata my chatzar, but not my house, lav kol kamina. He doesn't have the right, the power to do so. So v'yafa gav damer darina lav klumhu, even though he says he wants to, it's worthless, kamar. And l'rabanan, I amar mevatlina, if they said that they want to mevata their house, can they do that? My time, and what was the reasoning of the Rabbanan? Mishum de kasavri hamavata rishus chatzero, rishus beis alabitu. Because when the mavata the chatzer, they only were mavata the chatzer. They were megala that they wanted the mavata the chatzer, not the house. But this guy, Amar mivatlina, he wants to mivata the bias. Why wouldn't it work? Of course he has a right to mivata the chatzer plus the house if he chose to. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we say, Dilma time of the Rabbanan. The reason why the Rabbanan say the bitl applies to the chatzer only and not to the house, Mishum de lo avid inish de mesalik nafshe legamri mibayis v'chatzer. People don't just like give up their house and property. I could see a guy, okay, here's my chatzer for the weekend. But to give your house as well, people don't just give up their house and mevata the house. And therefore, the havik ki orach legavayu, and he's like a guest in his own house now? That's a strange thing for a person to do. And therefore, v'hai ki amar mevatlina, when he suggests at least that he's going to be mevatel his house, lav kol kamina, he does not have the right to do so, because no one in the right mind would ever be mevatel their house and to live in his own house as a guest. So how do we paskin halach lemaisa? Can Reb Lazar allow for no bittul, and can Rabban allow for a bittul of the house? So Amalei bein the Rabban, bein the Rebbe Eliezer, came in the gali daite gali. It all goes based on his das. Bittul is always about das. If Reb Lazar felt that the guy says, I'm only mevata my chatzar, not my house, so the house in a chanami won't be bittul. And according to Rabban, if the guy is megala that he wants to mevata his house as well, then there will be bittul. Let's finish off the parak now. The third statement we had in the name of Rebbe Eliezer was as follows. V'chein shemati, I also heard, mimenu, sheyotzin ba'arakfilin b'pesach. I heard that you could use this type of vegetable, this type of herb or leaf for Pesach, for maror. What exactly is this? My arakfilin, amreish lakish, atzvasa charuzasa. What is that? So Rashi explained, the last Rashi in the parak, atzavsa charuzasa, siv ava hagadol saviv hadekel, a thick leaf that grows around a date tree, v'nichrach v'olebo klulei v'gafanim, and you have lulavim growing from it, and charzisa tchufos harbe yachad, kimchusos, like bunched together, growing around the date trees, v'tam marbo, and it tastes like maror, so he had such a mesorah that this qualifies for maror as well, and that's how he concluded, hajnalach osin pasim. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue together on Sunday, after 7 o'clock, we're going to be